Greetings, friends and new listeners. Welcome to the R.G. Hardy Ministries program. I'm Sharon Knotts, thanking you for joining us today because we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And you especially want to hear today's powerful message by my father, Brother Hardy, Marked for a Miracle. You will see that there is much more to being marked for a miracle than financial blessing. But in a time of dangers, trouble, and peril, security and safety belongs to those who have been marked for a miracle.
We've got to do something to cause God to lift His judgment. And if it's too late to lift His judgment totally off of America and the world, then to lift it off of our loved ones, if you please. In the 9th chapter and the 8th chapter of Ezekiel, it was too late for Jerusalem. It was too late for Sodom and Gomorrah. It was too late for Noah's day. And the Bible said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It was too late to save Noah's generation. It was too late to save Sodom and Gomorrah. It was too late in Ezekiel the 9th chapter to save Jerusalem. The only ones that could be saved were those that were marked for a miracle. And they were marked for a miracle because they did something. In Ezekiel, they cried out against the wickedness, the ungodliness, and the backsliding. Somebody say, Brother Hardy, I'm not in a pulpit, I'm not on radio, I'm not on television. Then you need to align yourself and join with someone that God is using to lift up the trumpet and cry aloud and spare not and support Him with your presence, with your prayers, and with your finances. If you want to be marked for a miracle in this time of judgment, you've got to do something. You've got to cry out. If you want to earn a wage and God doesn't cut a hole in your pocket and He doesn't blow on it so that it will not pay your bills and meet your need, you're going to have to remember God's house. And you're going to have to remember God's work. And you're going to have to build a house of God up, that it might be strong, that God can use it against Satan and send the word, and to be a bastion against the demon power that has our boys and girls, because the judgment has not spared them. They are cursed children. The children, especially of America, are being eaten up with sex. I just read a little article in the paper, and it said that the young people of this last 10 years are more into sex than they were 10 years before, and the judgment of AIDS hasn't deadened them one little bit. They are still committing sex because they have set up the idol of sex, and they are worshiping sex and the gods of silver and the gods of gold, and they're looking for a thrill. And they're going to crack and smack and cocaine and all the hard drugs. No wonder God said they are a cursed generation. Our boys and girls are cursed. You can't hardly go to school. You're afraid that you're going to get attacked and get killed because you got a pair of Air Jordan tennis shoes on. You're afraid to send your children to school. They might not come back because they're going to kill them because they have a school jacket on, or they have a leather jacket. And every day when you send your child to school, you don't know whether they're going to come back. And if they do, whether they're beaten up. Cursed generation. For the land is full of violence and not many care. Because selfishness has come into God's house, and greed has come into God's house, and all they're worrying about is me, myself, and I. And a lot of them don't even care about their children anymore. But like when they were under the siege of Samaria and starving to death, they roast and ate their own children. And a lot of people are sacrificing their children that they might have their little bit of fun and their little bit of pleasure serving their gods of sex and pleasure. Oh, they don't like me today, Jesus. They're singing, preach deliverance, and that's what I'm preaching, deliverance. Oh, we need to return to God and have our eyes anointed with eye salve and see the condition and see that our nation is under judgment and see that our young people are under judgment. We need to see that demon powers and demon spirits have taken control, and with these synthetic gods, with these synthetic highs, with these synthetic pleasures have captured our young people and are dragging them down into the pits of hell and Satan, if you please. I read again this week that America has more people in prison than any other nation in the world. It's time for the church to fulfill the fourth cycle. Deliverance, blessings and peace and prosperity, forgetting God, God getting angry and raising up adversaries and send judgment. Then the fourth cycle, God's true people began to sigh and cry for God to raise up a salvation and a deliverance. Oh God, if it's not too late for America, raise up someone. If it's not too late for our boys and our girls, raise up someone, Jesus. Raise up someone that'll lift up the bloodstained banner and lift them out of the powers and the clutches of hell. Oh God, have mercy on our young people. Have mercy on our boys. Have mercy on our girls. Have mercy on our generation. Have mercy. God, have mercy on America. Can you have mercy? Can you have mercy, God? Can you mark us? Can you mark us for a miracle? You've got to do something to be marked for a miracle. Parents, it's not enough to give them the best in the natural. Best home, best clothes, best convenience of life. Oh, that's all wonderful. That comes up too short when you haven't given them the bread of life. You have robbed them if you haven't taught them how to pray. You've robbed them of that sweet communion and blessing of God. I thank God for my mother. Oh, God, give us praying moms and dads again in America. That poor little ignorant woman came from overseas and didn't know anything but one thing: she loved God. And God revealed himself to her and saved her. And even though my father was an atheist and a God hater, we couldn't have an open Bible in my house, because if my father would find it, he'd tear it to pieces, go into a demon rage. I'd watch him tear the Bible into pieces, throw it out the window, and go out and sweep what was left and burn it up. I've seen him go into demon fits when my mother would try to tell us about the Bible and pray. I've seen him knock down closed doors to get to her to stop. But oh, thank God, my mother gave me the greatest legacy in the world. She gave me a prayer life, and she gave me a knowledge of the Son of God. She introduced me to Jesus. For under the threats of being bodily beaten, she would tell us about Jesus. and that he could save, and that he could heal, and that he could deliver her. And every time she had a chance, she'd have us kneeling down and teach us to pray. And oh, the Bible said, train up a child in the way that it should go, and when it gets old, it'll not depart from it. And when I got out into sin, yes, I was a sinner. I got out into great sin. But I tell you what, my mother's prayers followed me, and my mother's training followed me. When all of my gods of silver and gold, and when all of my gods of pleasure crumbled, and I found myself in the clutches of Satan and hell, then mama's prayers came through, and the word of God pray came through. And I can quote this scripture from as long as I can remember, and I used it because my mother gave me something. She left me something. Oh, we were in a depression. We didn't have hardly enough to eat. Oh, we didn't have hardly anything. I didn't know what a Christmas was because my father didn't allow a Christmas tree or gifts or nothing about Jesus. But oh, but I knew what Jesus was really in the spirit, that he wasn't Christmas trees and he wasn't tinsel and a bunch of junk that would be in the corner destroyed before the day was over. But I found out that Christ was in your heart every day. I found out that Christ was a Savior and a healer and a deliverer. And I found out that Christ was a friend that would stick closer than a brother, that'll never leave you, that'll never forsake you, that lo, he'll go with you always, even unto the end. And when all of my gods and all of its silver and gold and pleasure crumbled because I did not obey the word of God and forsook the God of my mother and the Christ of Calvary, and when I stood there in dejection and despair and it looked like Satan had the mastery, then the old scriptures would begin to come trickling back, that under the threat of bodily pain, my mother got into my heart as a little boy. And I could quote the scripture, Jesus, you said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And tears would break out of my eyes from the depths of my soul. And I've said, Lord, I'm coming because you said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And Jesus would reach down and pick me up out of my despair and wipe the tears from my eyes and draw me to his bosom and say, lean on me, I'll carry you through. But our boys and our girls, they don't have that. They don't have the witness of God. All they have in the last generation is presidents being impeached, senators and congressmen being taken out of their office and put in jail. Governors, even of our own state, supposed to be the highest representatives of the people, in jail. And then when you look in the church world, those that were supposed to be of the highest repute with their holes in their walls, worshiping every vile and unclean thing, committing every sin. And I say, God, uncover every one of them. Uncover every one of the ungodly. Tear down all of the tabernacles of wickedness. Break down all of the idols of uncleanness and sin. And let your truth come out and lift up and sustain those ones that will not compromise and bow down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar and lift up their voice and cry out against the abominations and the wickedness that's being perpetrated in the church world and in the world in general. God, lift them up. Give them the finance that they might go on the radio and the television, that they might print the unadulterated word of God and give this generation a chance and a witness, and give our young people a chance and a witness. You're going to have to do something to be marked for a miracle. You're going to have to do something to cause God to look down and send the writer with the inkhorn. And I believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God is marking his people. I know Satan is his. Not very, very long, Satan, under the reign of the Antichrist. Because the Lord has already said this, Hussein is the forerunner. And that's where the Antichrist is coming out of, that Iran, Iraqi, Syrian area. And during that time, the Antichrist causes people to receive a mark in their head or in their forehead. And if they will not do it, they will not be able to buy nor sell, get food, or take care of themselves. You see, you're either going to trust in God or your gods of silver and your gods of gold that you rely on for deliverance is going to crumble and not deliver you. For the Bible said, the day shall come when they shall cast their silver and gold in the streets and curse it because it'll be a burden. I'm going to do something to be marked for a miracle. I'm not going to fail this generation. I'm not going to get caught up into the commercialism. I'm not going to get caught up in the selfishness. I'm not going to look in the mirror and all I see is me, myself, and I. I'm going to get out in the spirit of prayer and let me see the fields that are white, the harvest. That multitudes and multitudes are in the valley of decision. And that the fields are white, but the laborers are few. And that we're to pray, God, send laborers into the harvest. Send laborers in, raise up deliverers. Raise up laborers and reap the crops. They're white to harvest. I'm not going to turn a deaf ear, not only to America, but I'm not going to turn it to Africa, where God has commissioned us to go. Oh, I'm not going to fail these young people. I'm going to tell them, you better pray or you will not stay. You better learn how to get a hold of God. You better not put your faith in the arm of flesh. You better not put it in silver or gold. You better tear down the idol of sex and of pleasure, and you better return to God, the God of righteousness and the God of holiness. And the God of deliverance. And the God can deliver. And the God that can set free. You've got to do something to be marked for a miracle. I'm reminded of Elijah. And Ahab and Jezebel in the Bible. The cycle of sin had went so many times that every time that they backslid, they were worse than the generation before. And finally, they came to the reign of Ahab and Jezebel, that wicked woman and that wicked king. And the Bible said that Ahab did more wickedly than any other king before him. And they set up the gods of sex, and they committed abomination and whoredom under every tree and in every grove until God raised up the prophet Elijah. And he said, you go to that wicked king. You tell him I'm going to cut him off. I'm going to wipe out his name and his dynasty. Not only that, you tell him that I'm calling for a famine in the land and it's not going to be any rain. Elijah obeyed God and told Ahab that there shall not be as the Lord my God liveth, there shall be no rain unless I speak. I am God's rain man. And the famine came. No rain. And the crops began to burn up and the vegetation began to burn up. And the rivers began to dry out. But God was going to keep his message and messenger alive. And he commanded the ravens to feed him. When the ravens ran out of food, because the famine had become lengthy and so great, until the king had left his house and his palace, he couldn't go to his gods of pleasure. He was running around trying to find a few little stubble to feed the few little cattle he had left to stay alive. God said to Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath. Said, I've marked you for a miracle, Elijah, because you're the one crying out against the sin and the wickedness and the ungodliness, and I'm going to keep you my messenger and my message alive. But I remember this widow woman, and I want you to go down to Zarephath, for I have commanded her to sustain thee. And the key word here is sustain. You know, when you sustain somebody, you not only give them one meal, but you keep feeding them and keeping them alive as long as necessary. You've got to do something to be marked for a miracle. You've got to cry out in Ezekiel. You've got to build God's house up in Haggai. You got to bring all the tithes and offerings in Malachi. And he went down to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, this widow was there. God works on both ends. And she was gathering a little bit of stubble left. And the man of God came faint on his journey and said, fetch me a little bit of water. And as she turned to go, he said, and bring me a little morsel of bread. And she turned around and said, oh, man of God, as the Lord liveth, I have no cake. I'm gathering a few sticks now because I have one measure of meal and just a few drops of oil. And I'm going to make two little cakes, which would be like two little biscuits. And I'm going to give one to my son, and I'm going to eat the other one, and we're going to sit down here and wait for death. We're going to die. Because there's no more in the land. And the man of God said, oh, no. If you will do what I tell you, God is going to mark you for a miracle. I know that God is going to do a miracle because he told me back there that you would sustain me. And I see in order for you to sustain me, God has to do a miracle because you have told me you have enough but two little cakes. You cannot sustain your own self. But I want to say unto you, thus saith the Lord, you go and do what you said, but you make me a cake first. And that's the order in the word of God. Give, and then it shall be given. For God marks people for a miracle that keeps his messenger and his message alive. And you must come under God's word. Give and it shall be given. That's Ezekiel. That's Luke 6:38. Give, then it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will God cause men to give into your bosom? For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. He said, do as you said. Make me a cake first, then make one for you and your son. For thus saith the Lord, even though I've called for a famine in the land and my judgments in the land, if you will obey me, keep my message and messenger alive. Thus saith the Lord, your crews shall not run dry. Your meal barrel shall not fail. All the days until God sends rain upon the earth, or in other words, until God breaks the famine and you can eat off of the land. The Bible said that she obeyed God. She went to the one measure and the few drops. She made the man of God a cake first, and she got on the word, give and it shall be given. How many say amen? Then it said she made it for her and her son. Not one day, but many days. She ate. The prophet ate. Her son ate. Her house ate because she had servants. All the days until God broke the famine. I want you to see this. God did not give her an oil well, and he did not give her a grain elevator. And these people that are preaching grain elevators and oil wells are not on the Bible. But what he said was, as long as you stay in my word and give to keep my message and messenger alive first, every time you go back to the meal barrel and oil cruise, that measure will be there. And if you will do something when God's judgment is in the land, sigh and cry out against wickedness, remember God's house and his work, bring all the tithes and offerings in, give to keep God's message and messenger alive, then God will mark you for a miracle. The man of God will live. You will live. Your sons and daughters will live. And your house will live. You have to do something to be marked for a miracle. Raise your hands and praise him. Mark us, Lord. Mark us in this time of judgment for a miracle.
Amen. What a powerful message by God's servant, Brother Hardy, marked for a miracle. Have you been marked for a miracle? This blessing goes far beyond the popular prosperity message that so many eagerly seek after today. To be marked for a miracle is to be designated for deliverance, protection, and even divine intervention from danger, peril, and demonic attack. If ever we needed to be marked for a miracle, it is now. When satanic forces are being unleashed in the world and strategically against the real children of God. Yes, Satan is marking people for destruction, and he has the authority to do so in his kingdom of darkness. But God is marking his people for deliverance, and the very thing that causes the adversary to attack certain ones is the very thing that causes God to mark them for deliverance. In Ezekiel 9, when the destroyers went forth to destroy men, they were forbidden to touch anyone who had a mark upon their foreheads. They were marked by God because they were crying out against the wickedness and abominations that were being done in the house of God. From Elijah's blessing of the widow in the time of famine to Ezekiel's vision in the time of judgment, find out how you can be marked for a miracle. To order the CD, Marked for a Miracle, send a love gift of $10 or more for the radio ministry and request offer 167. That's offer 167. Mail to Archie Hardy Ministries, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Or you may order online at archiehardy.org, where you will find many other rich resources on many topics by Brother Hardy and myself. But to order by mail, Marked for a Miracle, offer 167, send a minimum love gift of $10 to P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Until next time, this is Sharon Knott saying, Maranatha.